Hey, we did it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We are done with season two.
Yeah, season two, Highlander, done.
Done, in the bag, bosh.
Yep, it's the Bitter End Podcast season wrap up with me.
This guy.
Me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan. And with you guys. I can't believe you're here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Sit down. Gather around. Open a beer.
Yeah.
We are celebrating. We are in a jubilant mood. Not that I have not enjoyed watching these movies, but...
It's been eye-opening,
I think. It's been eye-opening. I feel more fatigued than I did at the end of season one, where we watched 12 films, not 8. These films have had a bit of a higher psychic toll on me.
Yeah, I think that when people are obviously like talking about like the Highlander franchise, they're not going to be talking about it directly in relation to Friday the 13th. But so for us, it's a very different kind of thing. But
yeah.
This is kind of what the podcast is about. It's like looking at franchises and seeing what makes them tick. And I think that the slasher genre, because it's so generic,
mm-hmm.
and they're basically just resets every time, almost, you know, like it took till like, oh fuck, like what, like the eighth or ninth Friday the 13th film for it to start, you know, that's when you start getting like psychics and telepaths and possession and stuff like that. That like Highlander took like until the second film for the wheels to completely fucking fall off and just go off in wild tangents.
But I mean, in this franchise, in Highlander, the highs are dizzying. You know, there are moments of real greatness, and not even in, there's hilarious moments like Zeist, which obviously me and Tom love the ridiculousness of adding planet Zeist. There are genuine, thank you very much, Tom is passing me a beer, let's get this clink on mic. Tom, we did it. There are moments of real genuine good filmmaking. I mean, from an action film, there's bits in the first one that are just just rip-roaring entertainment.
Yeah, and it's a really cool concept. But I think that where Highlander falls down as a franchise and doesn't have as many strong sequels, I mean, arguably, I mean, you could say any strong sequels, but like, I know.
There's some good ones in there.
There's some that I like. But where it falls down is it is completely painted into a corner by its own premise, and it is not as easy to get out of as something like a slasher, where you just go, well, he's just a zombie now, he just comes back.
Yeah,
exactly. With this, it's like such a... And this is the issue that I think, like, where all like the Highlander fanboys, you know, get really pissed off with all the sequels, because it's like, no, but you said this was a definite thing. You said that like these are the rules, but then what do you mean he was in a cave? What do you mean they are aliens? What do you just,
yeah, time travel? What?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It can't keep continuity from movie to movie. I don't think there's a single sequel that doesn't contradict a previous one.
No, or like even like the ones, actually no, you're right, they just don't follow.
No. But we've gotten a little bit, we've fallen into the quagmire of the foibles of this franchise, which isn't really what this episode is all about. So what this episode is all about is, obviously, we've gone through these films one by one, and we've dedicated each episode to one film and tried to go into it as in-depth as we can. Mm. This, we're taking a step back. We're looking at it as a whole.
Yeah.
We're looking at it from start to finish. The world changes a lot in the, 25 maybe more years that this franchise was running for. And then we're also going to talk about everything that's not the films. We're going to look at the books. We're going to look at the TV show.
Yeah.
We're going to look at a few other little ideas. And then at the end of this episode, we will be revealing the franchise we're going to cover in season three.
Ooh,
so hold on tight for that.
Yeah.
Tom, I mean, what do you think is the biggest difference between the first film in this franchise and the last one? Like, what happens along the way?
It just fucking falls apart, really, doesn't it? I think just because you go like you go from a story about one man, like the first film is really tight in that you've got Connor, you've got Ramirez, his mentor, who dies relatively early in the proceedings, the baddie, the Kurgan, and you've got like a few other immortals who don't really have a lot of screen time, but it's a very like tight little insular thing. They're the last of their kind.
Yeah.
And they're fighting for something very definite, like the prize. By the end, like, and then by the source, there's loads of them. Like, Connor is dead, Duncan has taken over. You've got this weird thing called the source going on. There's all these other immortals and like,
like watches.
What are people like? The landscape is completely changed. I mean, I think, you know, massively due to the TV series, which we haven't seen.
No, not gonna watch it.
No, not gonna watch it. And I think if you're watching The Source, then you would probably be like, okay, like they've made that for people who are fans of the TV series, not necessarily the film franchise. But still, like Endgame is still so far removed from like what the first one is all about. Like, if anything, like the world has gotten bigger when it felt like at the end, the last one was like the end of an era for like for the immortals, and suddenly like every film that world seems to expand rather than get smaller and introduce something new, and obviously they have to do that. But I think this is the weird thing about like franchises in general and like Hollywood. You've got something that can make money, and you know that if you stick that name of a franchise on a movie, it's going to generate some cash.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes, I think with this, it becomes more about money. It's more about money than art and entertainment and coherent storytelling.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I think I really feel for the people that were genuinely trying to keep the franchise alive in the early years. You know, that they had a lot of love for the intellectual property. They wanted to make another great Highlander film because the first one, it's a good film, guys. I don't care who says
It's a really good film. And that's, I mean, the reason we did it is because the first one is a good film. Yeah. I think the second film is very flawed, but there's some cool stuff in it. Like visually, I think it's great. I really like Highlander 3.
Yeah.
Mario Van Peebles fucking smashes
Even Endgame has its fun little moments. Mm. But
it gets pretty fucking patchy by Endgame, though. But there are a few, like, decent moments. But, like, you can see it kind of, like, it's hanging on by the fingernails edge.
It's easy to point the finger of blame at Planet Zeist, at Highlander 2, as being like, this is what fucked up the franchise, because you can't come back from that. From coming into the second season, Planet Zeist, something like that, you know, that's where it all went wrong. But I disagree. I actually think that the fault lies with something in the first film, which is just the ending. It's Connor McLeod defeating the Kurgan, winning the prize, becoming mortal again, there being no more immortals on Earth.
Yeah.
Suddenly Connor can have kids, he's happy. It's all tied up with a bow. There was clearly never any intention to make any sequels at all. They've, you know, there's no more immortals. Not even Connor's an immortal anymore. There isn't even one.
Yeah.
Like, there can be only one. Now there isn't even one.
Yeah.
That is the thing. So then when you get that call going, Tom, we need you to bosh out another Highlander quick as you can. Here's $1 million. You've got one weekend.
Yeah.
What, you know, throw you a bone. Like, what are you going to do?
No, exactly. It's one of those things where, like, it's like, they keep on, it's like a band that keeps on splitting up and doing reunion tours. It's kind of like, come on, guys, just like, you have to learn, like, maybe with particularly with this kind of franchise and like the way that the stories work, the way they built that world to work, is that like, you have to draw a fucking line under it at some point. At some point, you need to be like, you know what, we've done everything we can do. Sure, a load of money would be nice, but maybe we should develop another intellectual property. And that's the kind of thing, you know, you see that still going on with, like, you know, it's like, fuck, we didn't need Terminator Genesis.
No.
Like, it's just know when to say enough is enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let us have those films. Like, the good, let's have that as a nice little tight packet. You know what I mean? They're making fucking, like, Blade Runner 2.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it's just kind of like, you know, there's a bit of, like, wish fulfillment in there. Like, oh, I really love these films and I'd really like to see another one, would be really fun. But then you've got to ask yourselves, audience, do you really want another one? Because you're just going to fucking moan about it.
You don't deserve another one.
Yeah. We gave you Zeist, and this is what you gave you. This is how you treat us.
Yeah, exactly. So it's,
so I mean,
they just flew too close to the sun.
But like, just like to quickly touch on, like, they are talking about rebooting this,
right? Yes. So tell me about these chats, Tom. You're the man on the street from Hollywood. What are they saying?
it's pretty much stuck in development hell. It seems like it just... I think I saw a news piece recently saying, like, it's still going to happen. They're still working on it, but it seems to be like one of those ones that just keeps on stumbling. I think at one point Ryan Reynolds was in talk to have played Connor McLeod.
Oh, my God, I want that so much.
I just cannot see it.
Oh, I want that so much, Tom.
Can you imagine Ryan Reynolds doing a Scottish accent?
I'm imagining it now. I need a private moment. He does a Scottish accent the film The Voices.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a fucking excellent Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I don't think he's in it, but... The last bit that I heard about casting was that Dave Bautista...
From Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, was going to be the Kurgan. Now, that would be cool.
I'm choking to death because I've breathed in too much.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, but I saw a little interview where someone talked to Christopher Lambert and was like, oh, what do you think about a reboot? And he's like, oh, well, you need to get somebody... Oh, you need to get somebody like Russell Mulcahy, who's a visionary director. It's like, okay, fair enough. You need to get a good director. And also, a big part of that film was the music of Queen. And
it's, Queen!
And it's just kind of like, you need to get another, iconic band. I was like, no, that's not really what made...
Do you think that's just him saying that because he knows that Freddie Mercury is dead? And he doesn't want another one?
No, because the thing is, for us anyway, for other people, they might have fucking loved it. But the musical Queen really sticks out really awkwardly in various moments of that first film where it's kind of, when it's kind of some gnarly punk dudes listening to Queen. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Every bar you walk into in New York is playing Queen.
That dates more than anything else in those
but
films.
The thing is, if they're going to do a reboot, the thing is, do you think, how do they do it? Because you don't bring something back like Highlander and just plan to do one film. So if they do it, they've got to go into it being kind of with a game plan of trilogy or something
like
that.
Are they going to go super dark, like
everything.
Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, probably. But maybe what they would have to do is go into the first film, it's a slightly bigger world of immortals than it is in the original Highlander, because then that gives you scope that you can finish the film where maybe there's you've got a Kurgan and a Katana and a Kane, and they all exist in that world, and you know that they're there from the get-go.
Yeah, and just don't tie a fucking bow on the
end
of it.
And then the film ends with Katana getting killed. And then the second one, he gets to Kane, and the final one is the Kurgan. And
yes.
Maybe there's some other good guy immortals along the way, and they die, and maybe you can have something in there about why the immortals are there, but you have to go into it with an out, for further movies. That's how, yeah.
Sorry, I was distracted drinking my beer.
I would be very interested to see what it is like when it comes out. If it comes out.
If it does come out, Tom, are we going to do a bonus episode of the podcast?
Fuck yeah, bro.
Don't worry, guys. We got your back.
Mm.
We will go and see this film, so you don't have to.
Now, did you want to talk a bit about the TV series? I know you've been doing some... Yeah. We haven't watched a jot of it, but you were just doing a little bit of research, weren't you?
Yeah. So because I am a tireless audio journalist for you guys, we couldn't do an episode wrapping up the entire Highlander franchise and not talk about the TV series. So, I sweated, I put in the hours, and I read the entirety of the Wikipedia page for the TV show.
Okay.
Oh my God, it took 8 minutes tops. So what I've done is I've just noted down, basically I've read the plot summary of every episode.
Mm.
Six fucking seasons, mate.
Okay.
And as I was doing it, without even looking at what I was typing or looking at the keyboard, I noted down anything that jumped out at me as being noteworthy. And the garbled mess is what I'm about to zip through now.
Okay, yeah.
So the TV series, which was simply called Highlander the Series, it starred Adrian Paul, as you know, as Duncan MacLeod, ran for six seasons. And it works on the basis that Connor never won the prize at the end of the first film, which is that's the retcon that they did.
But Connor exists.
Connor exists. He didn't win the prize. Both him and Duncan were adopted members of the MacLeod clan. So at some point they weren't really brothers, but they were both foundlings that were brought in by the MacLeod clan in the ancient Scottish hills or whatever. So the very first episode sees Christopher Lambchop as Connor. He's fucking in it, mate. He tracks down Duncan in modern day New York in an antique shop that he runs. I don't know what it is always about antique shops with these. Knocks on the door and he's like, Duncan, remember me? I need your help with the game. Okay. And the game is trying to kill all the other immortals to win the prize.
Okay.
So he turns up and he's like, Duncan, you need to help me. There's a baddie whose name is Slan Quince.
Cool.
Sweet name, bro.
Yeah.
Could have started with a K, but, you know, the rest of it's good. And so...
Quince with a K?
Yeah. not Quince with a K, but that'd do. So the rest of the season... Connor then fucks off. Mm. So it's just Duncan gets drawn into this fight with Slan Quince. The season ends with Duncan finding a secret book called The Chronicle, which is the complete history of who are the immortals, who's killed who, etc. Then he, in season two, he's got this book. He teams up with Joe, who we've seen from some of the movies.
He's a watcher.
So Joe is a watcher, who are a faction of humans who know about the immortals. They just track them. They never interfere. However, a small faction of the watchers have gone bad and are murdering the immortals. Although most of the watchers are nice. Joe's one of the nice ones. Somewhere along the way, one of Duncan's mates turns up and is like, someone's murdering immortals. They're on my tail. I need you to help me find them. This plotline runs for a bunch of episodes. It's most of season two. And then it turns out that Duncan's mate has got a split personality disorder and he is the guy that is chasing himself. Amazing.
Twist.
Spoiler. Loads of the episodes seem to take place in Paris. Mm-hmm. Season three finale is a massive sword fight on top of the Eiffel Tower.
Nice.
Which ends with Duncan killing the baddie, and he has such a big quickening that the lightning goes through the metal of the Eiffel Tower and shorts out the Parisian power grid, which then blows up the bad guy's computer, which deletes the program that keeps track of who all the immortals are.
Mm-hmm.
In season four, Duncan returns to his homeland of Scotland, trying to find a bracelet that used to belong to his first wife. While he's there, he experiences something called the Dark Quickening and turns evil for a bit. So then a guy called Mythos, who we know from The Source, he's the guy who helps him get his head straight and become a goodie again. In season five, this is the note I've written. Yeah. In season five, the Watchers are like, fuck this, we're interfering. because a bad immortal frames Duncan for murdering a bunch of Watchers.
Okay.
So they're like, screw this, we're going after him. This was meant to be the last ever season. But by the time season six was commissioned, Adrian Paul had already committed to filming other projects. So season six was actually almost entirely focused on a female immortal called Amanda with just tiny little bits of Duncan. After season six ended, there was a spin-off series called Highlander the Raven, which did focus entirely on Amanda.
Okay.
So she's an immortal. She's a sneaky thief. She's a bit of an anti-hero. And she ends up teaming up with a human cop. But in the last episode of The Raven, the cop gets poisoned. Amanda, in a shock twist, shoots him in the fucking face. And then it turns out that he was immortal all along.
Oh, it's lovely. Good. Now I don't need to watch any of it.
Yeah, you don't need to watch any of it. Those are the only bits that seem worth writing down to me.
Yeah, okay. You said in the book that it said about the origin of the immortals. So, anything?
No.
Zeist? Time travel?
No, none of that. It's just who's who.
Oh, motherfuckers.
It's just a big list of names.
I just want to know.
You will never know.
Fuck. The Dark Quickening. I read a bit about that as well, like in through looking at some of the stuff, like it was in like the comics and the books.
Yeah.
So like the Dark Quickening is basically what happens, like one of the comic series, just called Highlander, that was the initial run of comics. It was like 13 issues. They're like the first few deal with like basically after the events of Highlander 1, and Connor has a dark quickening. So basically what that is like, because the Kurgan was so evil and you absorb all their power, that it turns you into a baddie.
Sounds like a bad trip.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think at the end of that series, they bring in Duncan comes in. Don't care.
Fuck Duncan.
There's another like a four-parter comic series called Highlander Way of the Sword, and in that it's about Connor trying to find that like Masamune samurai sword that like he apparently like has a fight with the Kurgan at some point. You haven't seen in the films, and he loses his sword and he has to try and get it back. But the comic that you'll be interested in two-parter, Highlander Origins, The Kurgan.
Yes!
There's a two-part comic all about the Kurgan's backstory. Yeah! And the thing that I found out about this, like, it's, you know, it's just basically about him, like, how he became, like, such a big, bad lad. But there's a bit where, like, him and Kane were mates. Like, they were in the Mongol horde together. And they, like, had, like, a mutual respect for each other because they were, like, such fucking badasses.
That sounds amazing.
I want like a fucking buddy movie.
Yeah.
Between like Kurgan. Like, could you imagine?
Turner Clancy, and Hooch. But...
yeah, Clancy Brown and fucking Mario Van Peebles just like being insane.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds real good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the comic books. I haven't had a chance to like read any of them because they're not, again, it's like not particularly easy to find now.
Yeah.
There's a quite long like run of books, other than obviously like the book that you've been reading, yeah, which is like the novelization, the first one. Then you've just got a series of books that are all based in the TV series universe. So I don't give a shit, but there are a couple of books I thought sounded kind of interesting. One of them is called Highlander: Measure of a Man, which has Machiavelli in it, and he's an immortal. So like, Duncan meets Machiavelli in 1655, and like Machiavelli tries to deceive him and get him, and then they meet again in the present.
Fuck me.
Yeah, that's a bit mental, right?
Yeah, that is a bit mental.
Yeah. There was like another one that where like he meets the Dalai Lama, but it's the Dalai Lama in like 17 something. I was like, oh, I thought it was like gonna be like he met the Dalai Lama of today. That would have been amazing.
So cool.
The other book that I think seems quite interesting, in 2000 there was a book called Highlander: An Evening at Joe's, which is an
title.
It's an anthology of short Highlander stories written by the cast and crew of the TV series.
Oh my god. Don't do that.
Adrian Paul, I don't think, contributed to it.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. I mean, but so amazing that I will not touch it with a big shitty stick.
Fucking hell, that's insane.
Mm.
Whose idea was that?
Weird, yeah, weird tangent. But then that, I feel that's kind of sweet, though, because it means, like, oh, there must have been, like, that the people working on the TV series, there must have been a lot of love for the property.
Yeah, there was
that
a they really all went invested wrote that.
And I don't think it's necessarily uncommon, because I think a load of the people who have, like, been actors in, like, Star Trek have actually written Star Trek books.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That, like, I think a lot of, like, ex-cast members actually end up writing, like, or, like, I don't know, semi-ghost-writing, basically, Star Trek fanfic.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the subject of actors' lives beyond their franchise, I also did a little bit of research into Christoph Lamchop's career.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know that much about him.
All I know is that he's in Mortal Kombat.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, just like, again, edited highlights of
Lambert's
the career of Christopher Lambert, Mr. Big Lammy Lamchop. So did you know what his first big break was? Not Subway.
No, what was it?
Not the French film Subway. His first big break was as part of another big franchise.
Uh-huh.
In the lead, in a British film, he played Tarzan.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
Lammy Lamchop is Tarzan in a British film. That was before anything else.
I mean, I guess it would have been quite light on dialogue for him. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. So he did that. Later he got into Highlander, obviously. He then did a bunch of action films that I've heard of, but they didn't do very well. He was in Fortress. He was in Gunmen. He was in Mean Guns.
I watched the trailer for Fortress. It looked pretty gnarly.
Gnarly good?
Yeah, it looked kind of fun. It had the evil dad from that 70s show, who was the baddie in RoboCop. He's in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that looks kind of fun.
As you mentioned before, in 1995, he played the Thunder God Raiden in the Mortal Kombat movie, which I've actually not seen. Sorry. In 2012, he was in a movie called Ghost Rider that required him to shave his head.
Oh, like the Marvel movie, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance,
with Nicolas Cage.
I don't know if Nicolas Cage is in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is. Well, I want to see shaven-headed...
Lambo.
Yeah.
What, alongside fucking Nick Cage gurning his tits off?
Now, I haven't written it down. I think that maybe he actually was dropped from the final movie, but that he shaved his head to be in it.
Oh, and his hairline.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That precious hairline. I mean, he's never really stopped working. So he had a small role recently in 2016 in Hail Caesar, the Coen brothers movie.
which has Clancy Brown's in it as well.
The Kurgan.
Which must mean there is no way that you can have those two actors in the same film without it meaning that the Coen brothers are obviously massive Highlander fans.
Of course they are.
Unfortunately, they aren't in the same scene together, but I have seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Basically, when Lambo shows up, you're just kind of like, fuck, is that? It is. It's Christopher Lambert. And he doesn't, you can't understand anything he says. I think he's meant to be playing a German, but he just comes and goes, and then he's gone.
He's gone, he's out. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, he was in NCIS Los Angeles for 6 episodes, but the only other thing, the last thing on his timeline that I've actually heard of, other than Hail Caesar, was Highlander Endgame in 2000.
Oh, he's just taking it easy.
Yeah. He runs his own production company called Lamb Bear Productions.
Love that.
Yeah, like the animal, a lamb, and the animal,
there.
A bear.
I see what he did.
He also, his other business ventures, he owns a mineral water business.
Okay.
And he makes his own Cote de Rhone wine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Top lad.
And then just one more fact.
Yeah.
For 6 years, he was married to the actress Diane Lane, who is in, among other things, she's in Man of Steel. She's the voice of the mum in Inside Out. And she's also one of the leads in the film The Perfect Storm, which features our girl Rusty Schwimmer.
Ah.
It all ties together.
It does.
After they divorced, Diane Lane went on to marry Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah. So that's it, really. Those are the edited highlights of Lamb Chop's career.
It's good to know. It's good to know.
I've got a briefer list of facts about the director of Highlander 1 and 2, Russell Mulcahy. Would you like to know a little bit about him?
Hit me, bro.
I'll be quick. Did you know that he's an Australian gentleman?
I didn't.
Did you know that he wanted to use the Directors Guild anonymous credit, Alan Smithy, for Highlander 2, which is when you've made a film that you're not happy with, the Directors Guild will grant you the permission to bill yourself as Alan Smithy, so it's not on your credits. They wouldn't let him because he's not a member of the Directors Guild of America, because he's Australian.
Ah, burn.
I know, so no wonder it fucking stung.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
Lately, he's been working on the Teen Wolf TV show for MTV.
Cool.
He directed a bunch of like films that our listeners have probably seen. He directed Scorpion King 2, Rise of a Warrior.
Mm.
He directed Derek and Clive Get the Horn. And he directed Resident Evil Extinction.
Okay.
But he's mostly known as a music video director.
Okay.
Some of the music videos he's directed, It's a Kind of Magic
of
by
course,
Queen.
Yeah.
Making Plans for Nigel, XTC.
Yeah.
Turning Japanese, The Vapors. True, Spandau Ballet. Vienna, Ultravox.
Oh, wow.
I'm Still Standing, Elton John.
Oh, massive.
Video Killed the Radio Star, Buggles. Rio, Duran Duran. Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran Duran. Wild Boys, Duran Duran. Massive lad.
Massive lad.
Yeah.
He directed the first video that was shown on MTV.
Which one was that?
The Buggles.
Was that the one?
Mm, yeah.
And now he's doing Teen Wolf for them.
Got a tight relationship with those boys at MTV. Nice. Now... Shall we, in a tradition of the franchise wrap up, do you want to pitch a sequel?
Mate, nothing would make me happier than pitching a sequel. Did you want to go first or shall I?
You go first. I'm just wondering, I'm really wondering if we've picked the same thing.
Well, last time when we did this for Friday the 13th, I was worried and we had gone in wildly different directions.
Okay, hit me. Okay. Hey, I'm a busy guy. I got no time to waste. Hit me with your pitch.
Okay. I'm here to talk to you about a very exciting Highlander sequel. It is called Highlander Devil May Care. Now, you have to underline May like 100 times. Okay. Write it in a massively big font.
Okay.
Because the star of Highlander Devil May Care is Brian May, guitarist of Queen. So it all goes a bit meta. We're in a world where, much like ours, where the Highlander franchise exists. Mm. And much like our world, everyone is wondering why Brian May isn't dead yet. Even Brian May is wondering why he isn't dead yet. Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Brian May is walking around. He should be dead. He's not. Right. So this is where, so far, so much like our reality. This is where it starts to diverge. Devil May Care. One night, Brian May is tucked up in bed with his nightcap on, and he has a vision in a dream where Sean Connery appears before him and explains that immortals are real, the movies are based on fact, and that Brian May is an immortal. That's the only logical reason why he isn't dead yet. However, Brian May is the only immortal, so there isn't going to be any fighting. There's no fighting. There can be only one. He is the only one. So instead, Brian May just pootles around the planet for eternity, getting sadder and sadder. Much like he is now. Eventually, it gets so far in the future that people have Eventually, it gets so far into the future that one country now covers the entire planet. And Brian May...
It's all gone around the other way.
It's all gone around the other way.
Back to Pangaea.
Yeah, back to Pangaea. And Brian May is the last surviving person who's got hands with which to play the guitar. Everyone's evolved flippers by this point.
Yeah.
And so because he's the only person able to play the guitar, Who Wants to Live Forever, Brian May's song from Highlander, miraculously becomes the national anthem of the entire world. Driven insane by hearing his... bullshit, dog shit song over and over again. Brian May becomes a serial killer in an attempt to make something interesting happen. However, he's so old and boring that no one will go anywhere near him, so he doesn't have the chance to murder anybody. So instead, he sits in a comfy chair and waits for the sun to explode. Thousands of years pass. The sun eventually explodes. Brian May then floats through space, humming to himself while the credits roll. This film is 5 hours long. That's my sequel. Highlander, whoa. Devil May Care.
Wow. Do you think Brian May would agree to be in it?
He's not doing anything else.
That's insane. I like that.
Okay, good.
I'm glad that you didn't go for my idea.
Your idea? You mean you didn't have the same idea?
I didn't have the idea. My idea is Highlander 3, Return to Zeist.
What do you got for me, Tommy?
Okay, so basically, still up on planet Zeist, we've got Katana's brother, Chaos, with a K.
Yeah!
So he is now the one ruling Zeist. But Zeist is now running low on resources because of, like, Chaos's massive war machines that he uses to oppress the people. It's just destroying all the natural resources of Zeist. It's the planet is going to collapse in on itself if something doesn't happen. People are like, Chaos, you could stop this if you just turned off the war machines. But he's like, no, and he breaks their faces off.
Yes!
So what he needs to do... So he needs to do what his baby brother was planning on doing, go down and rule Earth so he can steal their fucking resources. But he's learnt you don't fuck with Connor McLeod and send down someone else from Zeist to make him fucking immortal again. So he gets a gang of mercenaries from another alien planet to go down to Earth to hunt Connor down.
Big.
Yeah, so like... they're different aliens. They don't make him go immortal again. Mm. So basically, it's like you've got Connor, Louise. She's still in it. They're on the run. They're being hunted down by these alien bounty hunters. He's mortal again. So this is like the first like film where like the stakes are really high because like if he gets hurt, he's fucking hurt. He's gonna go on the run. They're gonna get the drop on the mercenaries. They're going to take him out, and then he's going to get in their ship, and he's going to go back to Zeist.
Back to Zeist, baby!
He's going to go back to Zeist. He's going to lead a rebel uprising and fucking wipe out, like, fucking Chaos. He's going to take on Chaos with the Rebel Alliance. He's going to kill him off. They're going to turn off the war machines, and then Zeist can grow again. And they say, won't you stay? Won't you stay and lead us, Connor? And he's like, no. This is not my home now. And him and Louise go back to Earth and open an antique shop.
That is... I would go so far as to say that your idea is more plausible than mine. I know that sounds extreme, but I think yours actually sounds slightly more plausible as a sequel than mine. That sounds cool. I fucking love the idea of Chaos and his war machines.
I had to think of something cool with a K. Like, Chaos. Yeah, that'll do.
That's so legit, though.
Yeah, that's the film that got made in a parallel universe where Highlander 2 came out and people were like, yeah.
Yeah, let's stick with this. Let's see where this
Zeist
goes.
Where have you been all my life?
Amazing. Yeah. Well, that is kind of time for us to tuck Highlander up to bed, Tom. We got to wave goodbye. We got to go over that hill into the sunrise.
Yeah, I mean... do you think you will revisit any of these movies?
Oh, definitely. Not all of them, but there's none that I hated.
I think I've got, like, there's maybe another watch of, like, Highlander 3 in me. I could watch that again.
Oh, easily. Easily.
And I would, yeah, I would watch the first... I think it would be a long time before I watch Highlander 2 again, just because I've just... I just have, what, you know, like, yeah. Three times is a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I would even maybe watch the anime one again, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But, yeah, like, you know, I'd watch the first one again. I could stand to, like, watch three again. The ones with Adrian Paul can go suck a dick,
they
basically.
Fucking can.
I'm not a big fan of Mr. Paul's work.
Sorry, Adrian.
And then I just really interested to see if they do reboot it.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be interesting, right?
Yeah. So now with that all with the head chopped off of Highlander, Todd, do you want to let people in on what we're going to be looking at?
Yes, for the next season, for season three of The Bitter End. So, as always, thanks for listening. It's, like, totally rad that you're doing that. We are going to take a little bit of a break after this season so that we can just fucking rest and watch some films that are in a totally different genre, probably. Mm. And then,
In a bit,
we're going to come back and we'll let you know that we're coming. And so... we're going to be coming back with a new franchise that we're going to watch from start to finish, just like the others. So there are some rules. We've mentioned these in the past, but just to really quickly recap, these are the rules that we consider when we're choosing what we're going to watch. So we don't just want to sit and watch a bunch of, like, totally shitty films and just laugh at them. That's mean. We're trying to find the good in these things. So when we're picking a franchise, we want there to be at least one that is basically good. Yeah, basically good, which we've managed to adhere to so far. Also, ideally... we want films that are relatively easy for us and you guys to get hold of so that you can watch along if you want to. We kind of fucked that up a little bit with Highlander because we originally thought there were only six films and then we found out there were these two others that were actually quite hard to get hold of, but we'd already announced it by that point, so we were stuck. So for the next series, we really wanted to make sure that they were just fucking straightforward, no alternative versions, just a bunch of films that are just numbered clearly. Mm. You know what order, it's just straight on. And that's kind of it, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So, without further ado, some of you may be pleased to know that we're returning to the horror genre for season three. We will be watching The Howling. Yes, Howling. The Howling. So this is the seriously underrated franchise of werewolf movies that was kicked off in extremely awesome style by the director Joe Dante, the man responsible for Gremlins. He made this incredible, incredible werewolf movie. Can you tell I like it? This incredible werewolf movie called The Howling, which is just a straight up solid 80s werewolf romp. This is became an 8-movie franchise, which throughout the sort of late 80s and 90s kind of became a bit synonymous with a joke about shitty sequels. It was, you know, you watch old sitcoms, you'll hear so many jokes about, oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, we're watching the Howling 32. You know, that's something that comes up all the time. There's actually 8 movies in this. So if you are writing them down, they're all pretty easy to get hold of. It starts with The Howling. Next one, The Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf. This one features Christopher Lee. Dracula himself is in it. This is going to be so big, man. Then there's The Howling 3, The Marsupials, which is set in Australia. Oh, yeah, you know that's going to be a big one. Then followed by The Howling 4, The Original Nightmare. The Howling 5, The Rebirth. The Howling 6, The Freaks. Then The Howling New Moon Rising. And finishing with The Howling Reborn. So we are going to be getting wolfy as fuck.
Yeah, I've never seen any of these movies. I'm intrigued. I'm excited.
I've only seen the first one, and it's been a long time. And I'm itching to get back into it. I'm all about it, man.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope that you guys are excited as well. If we didn't pick the franchise that you were hoping we would, then I'm really sorry. But I'm pretty sure we'll get around to whatever it was you were hoping we'd do eventually. We're trying to hold the big one. You know, all the big franchises that you guys are all really, really hoping we want to do. We will do them.
Yeah.
We're just biding our time. We don't want to blow our wad all at once.
And we're trying to, like, dig out some of those ones that, like... that have kind of fallen by the wayside a bit. You know, like say with, like, Highlander, that spawned a load of films, but, you know, no one's talking about it anymore. The Howling is, like, there's a load of fucking, like, those movies, but it's not... It's kind of faded from, like, the public conscious. Yeah,
and we are here to dredge it the fuck back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I thought, yeah, that is kind of a more interesting prospect than, like, something that is that you guys already know. You know, you've seen them all.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hope that you will stick around through our break and come back and watch the Howling films with us. Or don't watch them, just let us watch them so you don't have to and hear what we've got to say about them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to take a few weeks off. There might be a little cheeky bonus episode somewhere along the way. Who knows?
Yeah. Wait and see.
Until next time.
Yeah, we're going to chill out, have another beer, we'll catch you guys next time. Where's this? Just get the bit.
So there's only one beer.
Okay, well, this is awkward.
I want a beer.
I want a beer. What? Listen, mate. My friend. I like you. I love you.
Yep, but...
I respect you. But there can only be one!
No!
Bitter End Season 3, The Howling.
Oh.